Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us today. I've got a question for you. Can you guarantee that you will persevere in the faith until the end of your life? That is what's at stake today. That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Grace in Focus. We're taking a look at this from the perspective of the King Jesus debate. If you haven't heard of that, don't worry. You can go to faithalone.org and listen to our previous episodes in this series. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we started this series, this is episode 9 now, and it started off as a response to something called the King Jesus Gospel, which has been articulated by Matthew Bates and Scott McKnight. They have openly criticized the Gospel Coalition and the Together for the Gospel people, which includes John MacArthur and John Piper and the late R.C. Sproul and others. One, for not making Jesus as king and his kingdom central to the gospel. They think it's wrong to make justification by faith central to the gospel. And another thing that the King Jesus Gospel people, Bates and McKnight, have done is to redefine faith explicitly to be allegiance to Jesus, or what Bates has called bodily loyalty. So for them, to believe really is to work. So they're promoting works, a work salvation
right.
message. Oddly, we think that the Gospel Coalition guys and the Together for the Gospel people guys would probably agree with that. Not explicitly, but implicitly, they would agree that, yeah, you need works to be saved.
Right. I think this article we're going to look at today, which is from Dr. John Piper and another pastor, Tom Steller, from the Desiring God website, desiringgod.org, a lookup. What's the title of the article?
The Necessity of Perseverance in Faith and the Assurance of Salvation.
Okay. They've got 8 points.
All right. Let's see if we can do 4 points in
okay.
this episode.
All right.
So the first point is, in order to be saved and spend eternity enjoying God's presence. So this is a condition of salvation.
Right.
A person must persevere in faith to the end. So, and they have a bunch of verses. So basically, salvation doesn't depend upon a single act of faith. It depends upon persevering in faith for your whole life until the end.
Right. And notice, ultimately, then the salvation would not occur until you've persevered to the end.
Right. So at what point do you become born again?
According to this, after you've persevered, he said, in order to be saved and spend eternity enjoying God's presence, a person must persevere in faith to the end. They cite a number of verses, all taken out of context.
Right. For example, some of these, he quotes these Revelation verses, and we went over Revelation 2:7 in a previous episode. I mean, I don't know.
Dealing with John MacArthur. Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been 2 or 3 episodes ago. And clearly that verse alone says, you know, if you overcome, you'll get to eat from the tree of life.
Right.
So it says, if you're an overcomer, you get this reward. It does not teach that you need to persevere in faith in order to be saved at all.
Right. And the same thing, he cites Luke 8:11-15, which is the Lord's explanation of the parable of the 4 soils. Mm. Of course, he understands that only the 4th soil is born again, but that's a misunderstanding because we've had other shows on this, that soils 2, 3, and 4 all believe, all are saved. Only soil 4 is the good soil, but soil 3 does persevere to the end, just doesn't receive mature fruit, and soil 2 does believe but falls away.
Right.
And so it's an illustration of 3 types of believers, and it actually undercuts his point. But rather than getting into the individual passages, I think the main point of his first point is that he's totally wrong to say in order to be saved,
yeah.
a person must persevere in faith to the end.
That's wrong. All that you're required to be saved is, I mean, Jesus compared it to a drink, 1 drink. Of water.
1 eating of the bread of life.
Right. Or it's like birth. Birth happens in a, he compared it to birth. Birth happens in a moment. Or he compared it to the Israelites looking at the bronze serpent. They were healed in a moment. Likewise, all it takes to be saved is a single act of faith in Jesus for eternal life.
Isn't that called once saved, always saved?
Well, and yeah, once you have that, and then you're once saved, always saved, and you're born again in a moment. It doesn't take 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 5 days or 5 months or 5 years of believing. you're born again in a moment. So we would strongly disagree with this first point.
We should persevere, but we're not guaranteed to. And we don't persevere in order to get salvation.
Now, this requirement that we need to continue in faith to be born again, I don't think I would call that work salvation necessarily. But this second point definitely has John Piper teaching work salvation. His second point is this: an obedient lifestyle which springs from faith is necessary for final salvation.
Now, notice that expression, final salvation. I thought we're finally saved the moment we believe.
Yeah, right.
Aren't we once saved, always saved? No. Here, there's something called final salvation, which you get only if you have an obedient lifestyle to the end of your life.
So what is an obedient lifestyle other than doing good works? Isn't this salvation by works?
Yes.
Why not just call it that?
However, there is some good news at the end of this point, too.
Okay.
He does say this is not to say that God demands perfection.
Right.
So you only have to be pretty good.
Well, see, sometimes people ask, you know, well, Sean, do you believe in easy believism in terms of salvation? And I say, absolutely. Salvation is easy. And it is by believism. It was hard for Jesus, but it's easy for us, and it's by believism. And then I sometimes ask them, I mean, what do you believe in? Do you believe in hard worksism, or do you believe in easy worksism? It sounds like Piper might believe in easy worksism. You don't need to be perfect.
Right.
You don't need to be that obedient. You need a more or less obedient lifestyle.
Well, no, he wouldn't go that far. If you said you don't need to be that obedient, then you'd be compromising, right?
Okay. But
so what he wants to say is you don't have to be perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. You can be really, really good, but not be perfect. So once you say you have to have an obedient lifestyle, not only does this result in some sort of work salvation, but it also results in no assurance of everlasting life.
Right.
How could I be assured?
Yeah, how do you know you're going to have this an obedient enough lifestyle your whole life to get this final salvation?
You wouldn't.
I mean, if I was in his church, if I was listening to his preaching, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm good enough. And I don't know if I'm going to be good enough tomorrow. And I definitely don't know if I'm going to be good enough a year from now.
You might go on our website and look at an article by Phil Congdon, C-O-N-G-D-O-N. He wrote an article about Piper and assurance, where Piper talks about the fact that when he was pastor, he was always amazed that people would come up to him and express doubts about their assurance. And he was like, I don't know where they get this. Maybe from his teaching and preaching.
Right. From saying you won't be saved unless you continue in faith until the end and continue in an obedient lifestyle until the end. I mean, none of us, we don't know the future. If you don't know the future, if you don't know for sure that's going to happen, then you can't have assurance.
Once I heard him give a message to a bunch of high school and college students, and his exact words were, if you don't fight lust, you will go to hell. Mm. A form of work salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
Point three, a person who has truly been born again will persevere in faith. God sees to that. So if you're really one of the elect, if God has really predestined you, then you will just keep on believing. And I assume you'll keep on having your obedient lifestyle too, because God is causing it to happen.
Right. When he says persevere in faith, he means faith and good works, although, of course, he's going to discuss good works and various of these 8 points. But the point is, there is no guarantee that believers will persevere in faith. In 1 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 2, there's a guy named Hymenaeus. We're told that he departed on the issue of the resurrection of the dead, and as a result, he caused some believers to stray from the faith. So there's no guarantee that believers will stand firm in the faith. Believers can fall away. They can't lose everlasting life. But whether they continue in faith is not guaranteed.
Well, what about some of these verses that he cites? Let's say John 6:37-39. Does that prove that or what?
No, John 6:37-39 proves the opposite.
All right, so what does John 6 say? It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day.
Okay, so verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. So, come to me is to believe in him.
Now, I could see someone saying, see, the Father gives those people to Jesus. So the Father is the one who causes them to believe.
Well, regardless of who causes them to believe, the point is they do believe. Mm-hmm. Coming to Jesus in verse 35, he who comes to me shall never hunger, he who believes in me shall never thirst. Well, never hungering means partaking of the bread of life. That's the same as coming to him. That's the same as believing in him. So in verse 37, all the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The moment a person comes to Christ, they're secure forever. And verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And what is that will? Verse 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. There's nothing about guaranteed perseverance in faith or good works. It's coming to Jesus at that moment. The person is secure. Not if they persevere in a life of coming to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's got him coming and coming and coming. And yet, the water of life, how many times do we have to drink it to have everlasting life?
Yeah, every single day. And if you mess up, then you're done.
That's not what Jesus said. In fact, the woman at the well says, give me that water so I don't have to keep coming here and drawing, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the bread of life. Once you partake of that bread, you'll never hunger again.
Well, another verse he cites is Philippians 1:6. And we discussed that in the last episode.
Right.
That's really about giving financially to a gospel.
That's their fellowship in Paul's gospel ministry.
Well, you do need to listen to the previous episodes. And go to our website, faithloan.org, and look up some of the verses he cites defending his idea. Let's say last point, point four. In Scripture, we're told of people who appear to be Christians and yet fall away. John says that their falling away proves they were never Christians in the first place.
And the problem with this, we are not told of people who appear to be Christians and fall away. If the people are Christians and they fall away, then what we learn is Christians can fall away.
Right, right.
And he's saying the opposite. John says their falling away proves they were never born again in the first place. And he cites 1 John 2:19. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. Well, I would say probably those people were not born again. They were Judaizers, but that's not the point of 1 John 2:19. The point is the reason they left is because they didn't agree doctrinally with the church in Jerusalem. So these first four points Dr. Piper is talking about do not prove his point that perseverance is required in order to be saved. Just the opposite. At the moment a person believes in Christ, he is secure forever. And in the next episode, we'll look at points 5 through 8.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Didn't get enough today? Don't worry. We're going to continue this same subject tomorrow on the show, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.